All points of view, no matter what they are, that occur within wholly positive basic space are perfect metaphors of that space. So there's no end to illustrations of basic space. It's just, you know, say we're talking about something called enlightenment. I don't really use that word very much because what we're really talking about is being human. The pinnacle of being human, what it means to be a human being, and an approach to being human that will take us to the pinnacle. So take us to the top of Mount Everest in an effortless way. And, you know, so, but if we talked about it as enlightenment, well, what we could say is that basic space is already illuminated. It's already illuminated. It's obvious when we look out there that basic space is illuminated. Even at night, basic space is illuminated. And if we've learned that we're a someone looking at that basic space, then and that's who we take ourselves to be. We take ourselves to be a subject looking at an object of space, the vast expanse of the sky, or whatever it is. And you see, this matter of enlightenment or illumination, liberation, whatever we want to call it, is simply the shift from seeing ourselves as a subject looking at the object of space to realizing that we are the space. We are the space itself. We are that basic space itself. And everything that occurs within that space is naturally occurring within that space. Whatever it is, it's naturally occurring. Nothing needs to be done to it. In other words, we don't need to introduce more things to the space for it to be what it is. And we don't need to take anything out of the space for it to be what it is, and we don't need to rearrange anything within it to be what it is. So, you know, we are basic space and nothing else, and you'll never hear me say anything different than that. You know, there's nothing we need to do. If we think we need to do anything other than just relax as that basic space, then we'll be off on a tangent. We'll be off on a wild goose chase. We'll be off chasing rainbows. And no matter what we chase, we'll never be able to grab on to anything. So, you know, no matter what it is that you feel you need to do in order to be free, whether you think you need to do intensive sadhana, wear a hair shirt, lie down on a bed of nails, or you're going to dance and celebrate your way into illumination. Whatever it is you feel you need to do and you feel driven to do that thing, just make it what already is. So, you know, say you need to, you feel you need to do intensive sadhana where you just submit yourself to some kind of perverse extreme of wearing a hair shirt, lying down on a bed of nails, or whatever it is. Well, that's basically what we do already when we take ourselves to be somebody. We are subjecting ourselves to the most extreme of all states by taking ourselves to be something other than what we are. We're totally stripping away our own basic ability to be at ease and relax by imposing this idea of a subjectivity on ourselves. So, do you understand what I mean by subjectivity? Being someone. Being someone in particular who has a personal identity, who exists independent and apart from basic space, who has its own independent origin or nature that is separate from that basic space. Well, you know, even when we look into it in this very simple way that I'm suggesting here, we see how absurd it is. You know, like, well, how could I have ever believed that? How could I have ever believed that I am somebody when it's so easy to just relax? So you see, if we feel that we can only be free if we dance and celebrate and and realize the wonder of life in every single moment. Well, you see, we don't need to do anything. If we make each perception our celebration and our dance, what could be a more wonderful choreography than freedom and immediate perception? You know, where all points of view, no matter what they are, just dancing about the myriad display, perfect as they are, as holy, positive, basic space and nothing else. What could be more wondrous than that? So see, no matter what our take is on it, we don't have to separate that out as an activity, like dance or celebrate our way into it, or go to ascetic extremes to be who we are. None of that needs to occur. Whatever is before us is the reality of our basic space. So, you know, say, you know, we've been around for decades, like most of us have here, and we've had all these points of view accumulated. They're kind of swirling around within our basic space. That's the source of our freedom right there. We don't need to haul in any new ones or get rid of any of the ones we have. As long as we're hauling in new ones or trying to get rid of the ones we have, or changing the shape and dynamic of them into something else, then we'll just be adding more points of view. Do you see what I mean? We'll be saying, well, we have to do something with what's already here in order to make it better, and in order to improve upon basic space, we're going to have to add more points of view to it. So, you know, for 24 years now, I've lived in the countryside in Northern California most of the time. And for most of that time, I've lived right on the ocean. And I've lived in a culture of organic farming and organic foods. That's all there is. You know, all our farms are organic. All our beef is organic, and our pigs too, and you know, it's organic from top to bottom, the whole food chain. Most of the food I eat is grown within 25 miles of my home. Not because I've set out to do that, but that's just the way it is. That's what's available there. And, you know, living in that kind of environment, I learned a lot about organic food and preservation of the environment based on its organic quality, rather than hauling in a lot of things to make it better. So, you know, I learned, because I'd grown up mostly in an urban environment, I wasn't really in touch with farming or any of that stuff. So, you know, when I moved to the countryside, I learned all these things like composting, where I take all my own garbage and put it in a big heap, and then it turns into fertilizer, and then you put that on your garden, and everything grows, and it tastes good. Well, you know, what could be more simple than that? So you see, This is the truth of our freedom. Our freedom is organic. Holy, positive, basic space is entirely organic. What's already in holy, positive, basic space is all that's needed to fertilize the already organic quality of basic space. Nothing needs to be hauled in. And all we need to do is, you see, it's just this thing that I keep harping on. Blah, 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 blah. Freedom and immediate perception. Whatever arises, we're already free. We're already entirely free. Not in relation to that perception, but as that perception. Because see, all there is holy, positive, basic space. So if we see ourselves as someone within holy, positive, basic space, then we're free as that perception. But very rarely do we ever take ourselves to be something. You see, it's an assumption. Very rarely do we have that perception, oh wow, I'm somebody. No, I'm really somebody. I have this body here. I have to do something with it. It's an assumption. So when we just realize ourselves to be this basic space in which everything is organically occurring, then it's natural to see that all of our points of view are naturally occurring as that space. They're not something separate from that space. And they never will be. It's just like we wouldn't say that the planets and stars and everything on all the planets, all the beings, we'd never say that those things are separate from space. They're all within space. So you see, the matter of our own timeless freedom is the matter of realizing that we are that basic space that contains everything else. And that's all there is to it. And that's all there is to it. Have you ever seen a fine watch, like a watch that costs tens of thousands of dollars? Maybe you saw it in a movie if you haven't actually examined one. And you see all the parts that go into it. It has all of these intricate parts, right, George? George is from Switzerland. He knows all about watches. There's an assumption for you. George is from Switzerland. He knows all about watches. You know, the watch opens up and there are all those like little wheels that fit in there, and they all look exactly alike. And you look at them and you think, well, you know, why not just one of those wheels? Why do we have to have hundreds of those wheels in there? Well, if we only have one of those wheels, then we have a cheap watch. You know, it's not going to be this glorious watch. So you see, when we start to realize ourselves as basic space, it's kind of like that fine watch. Even though a lot of the wheels look like they're the same, and it might look like the language that I speak about this in is repetitive or redundant, each one of those little wheels is totally important because they go click, 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 click until there's this masterpiece, this watch that is a masterpiece. It'll run forever, not only your lifetime, but generations on down the line. So you see, when we've fine-tuned ourselves into being somebody, then this matter of being free of that is simply the freedom as immediate perception. The more we realize ourselves as entirely free as each perception, the more we realize ourselves to be this basic space. And you know, I speak over and over and over again about everything being included. So no matter what our perceptions or points of view are, positive, negative, and neutral, they are that basic space. So there's nothing we need to get rid of, you know. Say at first we realize an incredible freedom. We just feel so free. We hear about holy, positive, basic space. We open into that. It's a no-brainer. Our mind is gone. The idea of being somebody's gone. And then all of a sudden we see all these negative points of view that come up and we think, whoa, you know, this doesn't happen all the time, but sometimes it does for people. And then there's this feeling, well, you know, what are those negative points of view doing there? This space should have only nice points of view. It should have points of view with little warm furry coats on it that, you know, they feel good in cold weather, or a silk sarong in warm weather, you know. Just nice points of view that that are not of any trouble whatsoever. They're not troublesome to us in any way. So then when we see all these negative points of view, we think, well, where did they come from? And maybe we read a book somewhere about awakening, and the book said, well, awakening means that the cessation of points of view, or the cessation of phenomena, or the exhaustion of phenomena. So we've read that, and from our dualistic perception have decided that what that means is we're going to reach a state where we won't have any points of view. They'll all be gone. We'll just be like a blank slate. Well, you know, that's dead. That's what that's what being dead is like, awareness only with nothing going on. But it's not what awakening is. This term, exhaustion of phenomena or cessation of phenomena, or if you've ever heard anyone who's awake talk about that, I don't know what they're talking about, but I know what I'm talking about. And that means that all points of view, no matter what they are basic space, including all these ones that feel really crummy. You know, say we have a point of view of whatever it is, jealousy, lust, desire, anger, sadness, depression, bliss, clarity, no matter what it is, we have this point of view, and maybe some of those points of view come up and we either want to hold on to them like bliss or clarity, or we want to get rid of some of the other ones, depression or whatever it is. Well, as long as we're trying to push these things out of basic space, you know, oh, there's depression, I'm going to push that out of basic space. Well, you know, there's no way for that to happen. There's no way. That's why we can never resolve any of our problems with psychology or philosophy or anything else. There's no way to push anything out of basic space. Everything's included within basic space. It doesn't matter what it is. And it's all equal in being basic space. So when if these negative points of view come up, it's nothing to be afraid of. It's nothing to be afraid of. It's like finally finding the bonbon you've always wanted to eat, or the truffle, or whatever. When these things come up that have seemed horrific in the past, if they do, know that those are basic space and nothing else. Just rest naturally, totally free as the dance of whatever that is, without indulging or renouncing it. So it means you don't get in there and say, oh, I'm so depressed, oh my God, you know, I've lost my awakening, it's all over, this isn't freedom, I'm in hell. You know? Well, if you go that route, that's just where you'll be, in hell. Or, you know, if you renounce it, say, oh no, I'm above all that, I'm completely transcended, I don't have any weird points of view anymore. See, all of it is basic space. Say, you know, there's a really crummy planet where we'd never want to live, like Mars or something like that, you know. Well, there's no way we're going to shove Mars out of basic space. You know? Or some of the, no one would really want to live on the sun. We like the sun, but we wouldn't want to live there. You know? It warms us up, we can see everything there is, and well, whatever. But, you know, we wouldn't want to live on the sun. But, you know, so we don't either indulge the sun or renounce it. We don't go try to live on the sun, and we don't try to get rid of the sun either. So all these points of view, no matter what they are, they're organic. You see, this is the point. Holy positive basic space is organic. It doesn't need any inorganic fertilizer, and it doesn't need anything thrust out of its environment in order to make it better. It uses everything that's there as the natural richness of its soil, so to speak, or space. So, you know, this is a stopping point for many people when in awakening, where there's the realization that all points of view are included and contained within me. And that's so freeing. It's so entirely liberating compared to what's been going on, that it seems like this must be it. But no, whenever you think this must be it, there isn't anything more, just rest. Because there is endlessly more. Freedom is timelessly free. That means that no matter how long we lived as a human being, say Shoshana, who has her birthday today, lived 500 trillion years as Shoshana, every single moment would be more wondrous as timeless freedom. There's no arrival point. So you see, there's no boredom factor in timeless freedom. It's not like, oh, I'm sick of this timeless freedom, you know. I don't want any more of that. Timeless freedom is timeless freedom, and that it's always timelessly free. And you know, it's as simple as that. There's nothing we need to get rid of. Everything, no matter what it is holy positive basic space and nothing else. So, you know, we've never had any kind of personal character or identity that we need to improve. If we look at ourselves as having character defects or shortcomings or that kind of thing, we will never be able to do anything at all about those character defects and shortcomings other than resting naturally. Not a single thing. We've all tried it, you know. We've tried endlessly to try to shape ourselves into somebody. We might make a little headway, but then we'll plummet back like 30 million miles, you know. So when we rest naturally, freely, as every single perception, we find that we already are good, you know. Holy positive basic space, that adjective, holy positive, is just what it is. It's wholly positive. Everything occurring within basic space is wholly positive. Every single perception, no matter what it is wholly positive basic space and nothing else. We don't need to do anything with the perception when it arises. We don't need to get Barry Bonds in there to try to throw it out of the ballpark. Do you know who Barry Bonds is? He's a baseball player, and whenever he gets up to bat, almost every time, when he hits the ball, it goes completely out of the ballpark. So if he's playing in San Francisco, he whacks that ball, and it goes completely out of Pac Bell Park into San Francisco Bay. So, you know, I mean, we don't need to do that to any of our points of view. Wham! Just hoping it'll disappear forever, because every point of view, it has a ricochet factor. You see, it's like a boomerang. If you try to get rid of it, you're going to end up with it again. So why not just relax as it arises and be free just as it is? And you know, I mean, if you don't speak English and you keep coming to these meetings, keep coming here, because you don't have to speak English. What I'm talking about here, or anything that's written in the Great Freedom Teaching, it isn't so much about the words, but it's the vibration of the words. You know, it's the resonance of the words. Just tune in with that. You know, that's the reality of who you are. Tune in with that, and that is basic space. The words are just meaningless. You know, it's just a way of us to be together in a friendly way and talk about what's really true. So, you know, this would all be good if it gave us personal freedom, and then we just went off. I went off to my little beach house in Bolinas and lived there happily with my little dogs, Rudy Kazooty and Baby Kazooty, and, you know, all my friends in Bolinas, who, most of whom, they don't even know what line of work I have, most of the people where I live, and they could care less. They call me the walker because I walk, you know. but you know, so it'd be fine. I could go live like that forever. But you see, the thing about basic space is that this vibrating aliveness of basic space, this true dance that is the celebration of all of human life, is that its vibration is an emanation of benefit. It can't help but benefit. It's like unrestrained benefit. And this unrestrained benefit comes about through naturally occurring wisdom. In other words, once we relax, we realize we've never had to learn anything. Just as all these points of view are included and contained within us, all knowledge is already contained within us. And when we relax, we realize this more and more. Well, you know, this is probably counter to everything everyone in this room has learned. What we learn is that we're subjects, we're an individual somebody, and if we want to learn something, we have to go to somebody who knows that and then read a bunch of books, and then we'll know whatever it is, and we've gathered that from outside us, and somehow we've plunked it down inside us. And then we have an elaborate way of describing how that happens. Well, you know, we read it, and then it hits the brain, and these neurotransmitters fire off, and then they all gang up together, and then there's learning. Well, you know, this is so primitive. This is such a primitive, superstitious way of being. You know, just 100 years ago, people believed that bloodletting was the highest form of medical care. You know, if somebody has something wrong with them, cancer, whatever it is, an ulcer, just cut them open and let them bleed, and then it'll probably go away. Well, you know, this is no different than the elaborate schemes we come up with today to describe things. Genetics, 200 years from now, everyone will be laughing uproariously at genetics. Everyone will just think it's preposterous that anyone could have ever believed in genetics. Just like, it's preposterous that anyone could have believed in bloodletting. Do you see what I'm saying? So the more we elaborate points of view, the more we end up with these elaborate schemes of point of view that seem like something is happening within point of view. But all the while, everything is included and contained within us. And when we simply relax, we tap into something really amazing about who we are. We not only know who we are, but we start to realize that we know already whatever we need to know. And that can apply to anything. It's just like the appearance of the Great Freedom Teaching came about in that way. But it could be anything. It could be neurosurgery or physics or being a plumber or a cake baker or whatever you do. When you just relax, you see something about that that is beyond anything that could be learned from point of view. So you see, once this basic space is tasted, it is self-fulfilling. It's self-fulfilling. You'd never want to go back to any kind of habitat of point of view. Not only would you not want to go back there, but it's impossible to go back. It's just impossible to go back. It's just, you know, like the other night I was looking at some things on Google Earth. I wanted to go to Brazil, so I was honing in on Brazil and from the satellite. And so I was trying to imagine myself not being basic space, and I couldn't even get that, you know, get a grip on that. So this is why we get so tired and old. We're trying to keep all these points of view in place. It's just so much work. You know, we've taken everything to be something, and then we've taken all these points of view and we've patched them together into like your Pietra's patchwork quilt of point of view. And then we're huddled up under our quilt there, our patchwork quilt of point of view. Oh, I am a somebody, and I have all these thoughts and feelings, and that's who I am. And I've done all these things in my life, and that's who I am. And you know, all the while we're completely free right here. And when we taste that freedom as immediate perception, we realize then that we don't have to hole up in point of view anymore. We just don't need to do that. We don't need to do that. We're just more and more at rest without trying to do so. And we know that we're resting without trying to do so, because more and more we have a natural affinity in, of, as, and through everything. You know, we're just completely indivisible with everything. We're one wholly positive basic space. And it's not like some philosophical abstraction that we're thinking about. It plays itself out in our ordinary life. You know, we just have a lot of love, so to speak, for everyone. And whatever our situation is, we're naturally responsive in that situation. If we're in a couple, you know how a lot of couples spend a lot of their life together trying to have their own space and identity? Oh, that one's not gonna impose on my space, you know. That one isn't going to impose on my identity. I'm someone, you know. Well, it was so once we realize we're wholly positive basic space, then all we want to do, and it's natural, is just be totally one with that person in every way, you know, like, oh, what does that person need? What can I do for that person today? But it's not, you know, something that's just conjured up, like trying to be a good person. It's just so spontaneous that this occurs. It's so spontaneous that this complete affinity with everyone and everything occurs. So, you know, if we're in a certain situation and we feel we have to get out of that situation in order to be free, what we're going to do is change our situation, and now we'll have the new situation plus the old situation. So You see, no matter how we rearrange the points of view, they're still going to be there. We've all tried this, right? We've tried to put together a better set of points of view. So, you know, there are many very young people in this room, and with many, many years of incredible contribution and benefit arising as your space. And, you know, the more you rest, just simply as the holy, positive, basic space of everything that is, the more any dream you've ever had about who you think you can be will be realized. And not only will that dream be realized, but it will be so far beyond your imagining that you won't even be able to relate to it, you know, because holy, positive, basic space, it can't be imagined. There's no way to imagine the wonder of this incredible celebration of who we are. So be at ease, and if you want to do it the hard way. If you want to do it the hard way, rest naturally. And if you want to do it the easy way, just keep showing up and it'll dawn on you more and more. Those are the two ways. Those are the intensive sadhana, liturgy, and practice of great freedom, in which nothing need be done. Would anyone like to come up and share something today about total freedom?
Relate very much to Candice, because I'm also grown up Roman Catholic, and I was very much indoctrinated by this religion. So I had always a feeling there is something more than that. It cannot be that. So I believed it, and I didn't believe it. So I can imagine when I was a child, I had some kind of connection with this holy, positive, basic space. So, because when I was at school, I always was looking out of the window, so I never was really there. But in the same time, I always got the whole lesson. I never really studied, but what was said in the class, it came naturally. So. But I don't know what happened in my life. I cut with that and tried to make something out of me, some personality, something. And now I start reconnecting to that. I feel really it's coming back. I feel everybody is part of me. I'm not separate anymore. Thank
you. Thank you, George. Thank you. Julian, would you like to share?
Who are you? Hello.
This is Julian.
I'm Julian. Yes. Well, we were talking last night in the restaurant, and I'm trying to think what we were talking about now. We were talking about language, weren't we? And yes, language. Well, I came to India first about 8 years ago, and had an experience that showed me that there was something completely radically different to what I always thought was real. And so there's been 8 years of trying to find a way back to that. And in all the stuff that I've been doing and learning and reading and coming back to India, you keep getting little sniffs of it. And there's nothing that's made it set in or made you really feel it, that it can be consistent. And we were talking last night about the language used in the Great Freedom Teaching and how it works and how effective it is. And we were talking about certain explanations and certain teachings you go to all use language that have their own assumptions. Like we were talking yesterday about surrender and about how people have their certain ideas about surrender. They have a concept about what surrender is. So when you use that in any context, there's already an assumption behind it. And about how when I started coming to the satsangs about 2 weeks ago, I came for about 2 or 3 days, and then I had to go to Delhi to meet my friend from the airport. And just after a few days of coming here, the language of the freedom and the immediacy of perception and the holy positive basic space, it just immediately just touched something. That because there was nothing else attached to the language, it was completely new and it was completely direct. And so even just after a couple of visits to the satsang, I was on the train to Delhi, and it was so apparent. All of a sudden, with no effort at all, you could just feel it. You could just sense exactly what that meant. And it's the directness and the preciseness of every word of the language of the teaching that just guides you to it. Not guides you to it, but makes it apparent. It just makes it palpable, or like you can sense it, you can taste it. And it was just the immediacy of that was so striking, you know. So I'm looking forward to starting the 12 inquiries tomorrow.
Oh, well, that's tomorrow, that's
well,
right.
The day after tomorrow.
Yes.
So I've been looking forward to that.
Oh, thank you, Julian. Thank you. Would anyone else like to come up and share? Please, Johan, I invite everyone to share whatever you have to share. It's very important to start talking about who we are, because most of us spend our whole life talking about ourselves as a point of view. So we need at some point to start talking about ourselves as we are, and it really supports us in resting as basic space.
So much. I had a wonderful experience a couple of nights ago. It reminded me of my childhood. I was raised also in a Christian environment, and every night my grandmother, and in the morning she came to pray with me, and I always had my couple of fears that I brought to God, and these fears changed throughout my life. In the beginning it was, what was that? The Third World War, because in our hometown we had this Pershing 2 missiles, and everybody was talking, oh, if the Russians attack the West, then it's going to be horrible for us. And so I was praying as a 5 or 6 year old, please, 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 no Third World War. And throughout my life, these fears changed, and the fear of not finding the right girlfriend came, and came then. The fear of not finding the right job, what should I study, and then the fear of not raising enough money. And so a couple of nights ago when I went to bed, there was this fear of not having enough money, and I suddenly realized for 3 months, I think, I almost hadn't any fear. I don't know where they have gone, or I haven't actually done anything. They have just been away. So when this fear was coming up of, oh, should we go home to Germany or should we stay here and help George and Shoshana building the center of great freedom here? Or it was this fear, but it was empty. I could really see how I used to go with this fear and think about elaborating, making it go, or kicking it out of the whole stadium of my point of view of I. But this time it was just empty. It was there and it was not there. Or, yeah, it's so hard to say that if you don't experience it like that. I tried a lot of things to get rid of this fear. I was in psychotherapy, I studied psychology, and I did Tai Chi and yoga, so many things, but it always came back. It's like the boomerang that always comes back, and the more it comes back, the harder it gets to cope with it, because you tried so many things, so you don't even believe you can get rid of it, but still you try to get rid of it. And this time I didn't try to get rid of it, and it went. It's an amazing experience. So that was what I wanted to tell you. Thank you.
Thank you. Beautiful. Thank you, Johan. Would anyone else like to share?
I yesterday it was after talking about being here with you, I felt, as I've done in other situations of teachings, that my mind can't always wrap around something, but as you were talking about these words, that like in between the words there's this energy that goes inside and it's resonates, right? So much have to intellectually understand something is that when it resonates, it's some kind of truth to my being, then I'm relaxed. Yesterday, one of the things that the other woman was talking about was, you know, when things are in your face and what's that all about? And, you know, I realized it, when you're talking, that the intellectual part wants to go into why, you know, and it wants to wonder. You were just touched on it earlier about, you know, that everything's inclusive, including this other stuff, right? This other stuff that isn't so nice, you know. And it seems that in my lifetime, I see this progression into this other stuff that's not so pleasant. And, you know, my heart doesn't understand that. Because, you know, there are certain things before I met you and your work, which I'd like to be able to do, that I have progressed as a human being, you know, I truly have, and a lot of that is through acceptance of whatever went on in the past and through acceptance of everything that led up to that point, of no matter what happened. And this is talking in personality terms. You know, I really like who I am today, so I thank everything that happened after that, after this point. You know, so that's been my way of being able to accept my life, you know, no matter how the stories say it's been rough and da 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 da. So through all this, you know, of resting in, why does it seem that things progressively at this point in life, they call it the Kali Yuga, they call it all kinds of stuff, you know. Why does it seem that everything is, you know, out of control in our environment and doesn't seem like it looks like it's going to get any better, you know, in that sense? The story says that, you know, the ozone is, you know, everyone in India is getting a motorcycle and a car and now China, and, you know, what is that? You know, as human beings, breath for our, is there something through our extinction? I know it will still be something that you're talking about, but do we need to go through the extinction thing?
You need to go through the extinction thing. You need to keep the focus entirely on yourself and rest as your own awareness, and then the answer to all these problems will come to be. But see, if we're living within the realm of point of view and needing to do something with point of view, even acceptance acceptance may help us feel better, but it's still a point of view. You're still totally within the matrix, trying to slap an antidote of acceptance on everything. When you just rest as awareness, the holy, positive, basic space of everything, free as every single perception that comes up, then you tap into omniscience. Omniscience, all-knowing. So then you not only are the totality, you completely understand the totality. And where whatever your sphere of influence is, as part of that totality, as that totality, you will know. And you will come up with solutions to problems that you couldn't have possibly imagined from point of view. So now you just need to take it the next step, that's all. It's just like you've never heard this message before, but now you're hearing it and it resonates with you. You're seeing something here where these things that seem to be accumulating and painful and just getting worse and worse, you see that there's release from that through being that, not through trying to get rid of it or accept it or apply some other antidote to it. So, you know, that is all that is offered here. It's just like, you know, from point of view, we can slap together all kinds of solutions, but have any of these solutions ever done anything? No. No, they haven't. It's just like, you know, when I woke up 24 years ago, I didn't know what it was. I just knew that everyone is this. And I wanted to share that with everyone. That woke up too. Well, see, I didn't have to go to college to learn that. I'd learned something else in college. This was naturally occurring. It was spontaneous. And then this whole teaching came about. A teaching, you know, it doesn't have anything to do with anything. It is the essence of every great teaching that ever was, but it doesn't sound like any of them. You know, it's for right now. And it's fresh, it's simple, it's direct, it's new, and everybody on earth can understand it. But you see, that solution couldn't come about from point of view. From point of view, there are only more point of view solutions. You know, you have to do this or you have to do that in order to be free. You have to practice acceptance, or you have to wear a hair shirt, or, you know, I'm bringing that up a lot today, huh? That's because, you know, when I woke up, I'd been raised as a Catholic, and I thought, well, you know, I'm sure some of these Catholic saints I read about when I was a kid, they must have been enlightened too. So I started reading what the saints actually wrote. St. John of the Cross, Hildegard von Bingen, Teresa of Avila, Catherine of Siena, Catherine of Genoa, all these other, Francis of Assisi, he was one of my big favorites. And, you know, so I read what all of them, what they were actually writing when they were alive, and I'd go through and I'd underline everything in what they'd written that related directly to my own experience. And I found, you know, that there were a few things in there that related directly to my own experience of timeless freedom, but that most of them were just these preposterous points of view about timeless freedom. For example, there'd be this expression of total Jesus love, divine love, taking over everything, swoons of ecstasy occurring all the time. But then the feeling that one of these incredibly beautiful people was just a nobody, nothing, scum of dirt sinner who had to lie down on a bed of nails and dress up in a hair shirt because they were so undeserving of this ecstasy of total God love. That just, you know, anything that was left of my mind was totally broken and disseminated by that one. That made no sense to me at all once I had realized the true nature of reality. Or, you know, that's, you know, from my own direct experience of Catholicism. But then when I look at other things too, I thought, well, you know, there's nothing needed. There's nothing needed to be who we are. There's nothing at all that's needed. You know, we don't need to reshape our characters. We've never been sinners. We've never been influenced by anything called karma or reincarnation. These are all points of view. if you want to go to a teacher who can show you what timeless freedom is, then it better be someone who talks about that alone. So I set out to see if there was anyone doing that, and I found that there were incredible great beings everywhere, but many of them were, you know, maybe they were outstanding orators. That was their message. They could give incredible discourses and set up a whole spectacle of wonder that was just beyond anything that had ever been imagined. But that wasn't really the direct transmission of timeless freedom. Do you see what I mean? So you see, all great beings have their own role, just like everyone here is a great being, and each person has their own role, whatever it is. When we rest naturally as holy, positive, basic space, we realize what that role is. We know just exactly what it is that is our expression. But without that, we don't know. So it could be anything, you know, it could be anything. It could be Pilates or, or, you know, whatever it might be. It could be giving incredible discourses on the philosophy of holy, positive, basic space. Or it could be this direct transmission and communication of what the true reality of every human being is. We know. No one needs to tell us that. We just know. It could be being an organic farmer. Now, you know, if I did anything else other than what I'm doing right here, I'd give dogs massages. That's what I'd do. Now, that's my idea of a life. So I have a very narrow career path.
Have you ever spoken to one of the gurus? Did one of the gurus listen to what your message is?
Oh, sure. Sure, there have been gurus who come to the Great Freedom Teaching. So. And we share the teaching with some people, like the Dalai Lama, and Thurston Rinpoche, who's head of the Nyingma Order of Tibetan Buddhism, and who else? Wangdor Rinpoche. So it's being translated into Tibetan, and the Tibetans love the Great Freedom Teaching. The Dzogchen Masters love the Great Freedom Teaching. Well, you see, one of the things about the Great Freedom Teaching is that there are no concepts to hang on to. Have you noticed that? There's nothing to hang on to. And no matter where you turn, it's timeless freedom. So there's nothing you need to get rid of or hold on to, either one. And that's why it's called timeless freedom or great freedom.
You were doing this for 24 years already, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
How many teachers are there by now?
How many Great Freedom teachers yes. are there? Oh, I don't know.
Oh.
Yeah, but I have not been involved in what's called Great Freedom for that entire 24 years. For a long time, I just met with a few people. But then, I guess about 3 years ago, I went public.
3 years ago?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But the Great Freedom Teaching is only a year and a half in this form.
2 years, yeah. And then in that 2 years where we've had great freedom, which means a written teaching, in other words, what I'd been sharing with people for many years, I wrote it down. And also set up a structure to disseminate that worldwide, a structure that people could really count on. So, you know, where if people need support, there's support available. And then also, you know, one of the things that occurred to me is in looking around was that most often people were never given the voice of freedom. There may be lots of people learning about who they are, but no one was ever talking about that. Maybe with another friend they'd talk about it, but not in front of a group. And so I just realized that, you know, we all are who we are, and we need to get together in groups of mutual support for awakening throughout the world and support that in each other. It's very simple. It's very straightforward. It's about community. It's about the celebration of life. And so this appeared. And now I guess we have about, I don't know, 25 teachers. And then, you know, many more people than that who are experiencing their own freedom. You see, what's already the case is totally accessible. It's totally accessible. How could it not be? We are who we are. And it's only this slight shift in who we think we are that completely opens up something that we never knew existed. You know, we can avoid it, so we've all tasted it or glimpsed it throughout our lives. It's just so overt and ever-present that we couldn't possibly have not tasted it. Even if we were in a coma, we would. We'd be tasting it. So, you know, once we are in an environment where that's completely encouraged in a non-hierarchical way, in other words, the starting point is everyone is already enlightened. Everyone is already enlightened, so get busy with the celebration. You know, relax. and just let everything go and enjoy it all. Every single perception, no matter what it is a feast of awareness.
This is not a question, it's just a sharing. I had this message, I had this feeling, this experience too when I arrived in the 80s to the coming in Pune. I felt I'll find out in my tribe. Message, and there was this incredible, powerful blast of explosion of joy and celebration, because also there the language was very similar, you know, similar in the sense of, for example, I want to know what is God, you know.
Yes.
And the message was, what has done to you, God? Leave him alone, just enjoy. And that joy was bubbling everywhere, you know. So, but that high level of, I don't know why and how it was my chance to explain, maybe it was because somebody was incorporating or leading this, you know, ocean of waves of celebration or whatever, but in a way this thing got lost through times, maybe because the master disappeared, maybe because you went back to society afterwards, and in society, if you are happy, you are wrong. If you go out there and you are smiling inside and outside, and you explain it, you end up or in not home, or you're going to get into some trouble, especially in some part of the world, or whatever, not just not going to give answers. But so there is this underlying experience that cannot lose itself, but still there are other layers that come up, and So it's like saying, now again, I can plug in again to a similar source now, and I can become aware and be grateful that this is again happening in my life, to refine this thread and kind of got a little lost.
Yeah.
There's not a real question, but there's a common, a question mark to say, I lost it in the society. Now again, it's like now it's easy, seems easy to reconnect this thread, then you go out and then probably might come back again in old habits or in old thing. Obviously there's this underlying coding, but still out there you find again. In India, I feel totally at ease. I go back in the West, I have to go again back in this strange mind, you know. Hawaii was again different. But somehow, it's so easy to get adapted. What's going on? We are all influenced, I think, when I'm in one place, there's certain thoughts, a certain feelings, you are in another place, because you kind of get absorbed by what's thinking out there, what's conditioned out there, you know, it comes in to yourself too, you know, in a way, so. It seems easy here with you. If you would now sail on a boat, no problem, you know. But somebody's going again, where he's supposed to go, or whatever he's left to go. That's a big question mark.
I completely understand. I completely understand. You know, it's the situation that you were in with Osho is an extremely rare experience for anyone to have in their life, to meet a being who is so great and to be so young, you know, when you met him. And of course, I have many friends who were with Osho too from the very beginning, so I've seen similar questions in them, you know, over time, about what happened, because we taste this and it seems more real than anything, but then what? You know, then what? Then what happens when we go back to our ordinary life and there isn't this whole spectacle of community, of everyone moving in one fluid mass of freedom, you know, of total celebration? What happens then? Well, for some people, they couldn't adjust at all and they went crazy, you know, and had to go to mental asylums or psychiatric institutions. And then for other people, there's just this nostalgia and sentiment. Oh, it was so lovely then, and if only I could reconnect with that. But you know, what's most important is that what awakened in you then is always alive and present. It's always alive and present. Really, Osho's message was that everyone is Osho, that's all. You know, that incredible celebration of life that was expressed by Osho is what everyone already is. And he had many ways of talking about that, very elaborate ways, endless ways of talking about that. So what's important for you to do is realize that that experience you had then, that decisive experience you had then, is always who you are. That is what I refer to as holy, positive, basic space. That is who you are. Not just who you were then, but who you are now. And wherever you go, no matter what comes up, you rest as that. You rest as that space. that space that Osho introduced you to. You rest as that, no matter what perception comes up. You know, say you're back in Italy or Hawaii or wherever you are, and you think, oh, wow, these barbarians, they're driving me crazy with all their going to Costco and everything else that people do in the West. I can't take it anymore. You know, none of them are thinking about timeless freedom. I'm the only one. Well, you know, when all these perceptions arise, you just rest naturally as that glorious space, basic space that you were introduced to by Osho. That space that is yourself. You know, that what you, again, you're feeling it right here. It's so strong it can't be denied. But you see, who's feeling that? You are. You know, there's no circumstance that can do anything to you. There's no person who can do anything to you. Just now you feel the safety to allow that again. But it's you, you know, it's you. It's your own awareness, your own basic space. So you can say, you know, Osho is alive right here. And sometimes when something like that happens that had so much going on within it, we can feel a little unsafe and uncomfortable when we taste that space again. But just know that that is who you are. You know, no one can ever take that away from you. And no matter what thought comes up when you're back at home or wherever you are, know that that is total freedom. Whatever that thought is that comes up, it is the basic space of total freedom. See, this is what Osho was communicating. This is what Osho was transmitting, that no matter what appears, it is the dance, it is the celebration. There's absolutely nothing left out. Everything is one holy, positive, basic space. And all of these perceptions, all of these points of view that arise within it, they're the choreography of that space. You don't need to go to any special situation in order to celebrate that. You can if you want to, but everything is the celebration of that. So just relax and enjoy that. And you know, the whole purpose of the Great Freedom Teaching is just to take away all the vagueness about that. You know, to just remove all the fog and the haze and shine the big illuminating sun of awareness that takes away all the fog and haze. And sometimes, you know, we each have points of view, no matter who we are, that we feel have to go away. Like all those barbaric Westerners, or, you know, if only we could live in sublime celebration with like-minded people all the time, then we'd be fine. Or, you know, no matter what it is. But it does, all of these points of view that come up, when they come up, they are wholly positive basic space and nothing else. And this is what Osho wanted so much for everyone to realize. And, you know, he was an innovator, a powerful innovator, in that he said, stop doing all this stuff, stop doing the sadhana, that's ridiculous, celebrate, have a good time, put yourself in an extreme situation of one kind or another and see what happens. You're free no matter what it is you're doing. And so, you know, that's true not only outwardly, but with our within as well, these points of view that we experience is within us, our thoughts, our emotional states, our memories, all of these things. You see, all these are the choreography too. They're all the choreography. And when we rest naturally, freely, as every one of those perceptions, no matter what it is, you know, say we're in the West and we have the perception, I can't take it anymore. These people, how was I born in the West? Why wasn't I born in India or somewhere? No matter what these perceptions are, they are timeless freedom. We don't have to have any special perceptions for them to be sublime. No matter what they are sublime. And this is what Osho was communicating. So, you know, this is the flavor of this is always fully alive. It's fully alive and fully free. In the Great Freedom Teaching, we stated in a simple, direct way, you know, a direct way, a very direct way, no time to waste. No time to waste. All these points of view, no matter what they are the dance. They are the feast. They're the complete celebration of who we are. Nothing needs to change. I had a couple incredible dreams about Osho. One, I was walking with him and we were walking along a river, but it was near the mouth of the ocean. And Osho was barefoot and all the rocks were sharp. And so I had these little things that I put on his feet. They were like foot covers, but they weren't really shoes. You know, they didn't really attach to his foot, but they stayed on his foot so we could walk along to the mouth of the ocean. And then another dream I had was of Osho was that we were up in the mountains and there was like an underground world, and it was filled with fire, you know, like a volcano, but there were people living there. But it was like a living hell, you know. All these people were living in this volcano of point of view, I guess. And the volcano started to erupt. And Osho and I were sitting there, and he was looking at the volcano, and he had kind of a shocked look on his face. And then he looked at me, and I just said, "You know, Osho, this is what we've been waiting for. This is what we've been waiting for." I said, "Everything is okay, and when this volcano erupts, the whole world is going to be filled with light." It was something like that. So you see, when we just relax, we have, no matter who our personal favorites are, Osho or whatever their name might be, there we have them with us in an incredible way that we never could have imagined in this part of the dream. So see, I never knew Osho in this part of the dream, but as you can see, Osho and I are frolicking. Oh, are there any other questions before we?
I have a short question. Uh-huh. I read a bit about Twelve and Crimes, and there was something about point of view is avoidance of relationship. Is the activity of point of view, and somehow I don't really get this statement.
Mm-hmm. You will. Well, so, you see, if we feel that we need to change anything at all about what's going on, then we're avoiding relationship with ourselves as wholly positive basic space. See, if we think we have to change the points of view, make them into better points of view or get rid of them, then we're just avoiding relationship with ourselves as wholly positive basic space. Everything is included. And in a practical way, what that looks like in our human lives is that usually we think, well, you know, there's some people we want to be around and the rest of those people, well, they're losers, you know. We don't want to be around them. They're like wild animals or whatever. They're going to eat us alive if we get near them. So this is avoidance of relationship. You see, when we simply rest naturally, freely, totally freely, just dancing as every perception, then we realize more and more there's nothing to avoid and no one to avoid it. We are the wholly positive basic space that's inclusive of everything. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
I see my brain waving.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I focus too much on relationship.
You know, it's kind of interesting because timeless freedom has totally uncontrived conduct. The conduct of timeless freedom is totally uncontrived because it includes all conduct. All conduct is timelessly free. But when one lives as timeless freedom, one's actions are, one's conduct is as fine as flour. Do you see what I mean? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you see, it's just important that we share this message with each other. There's no one special that needs to share it. We just realize who we are, and then we can share that with someone else. And then, you know, anyone who shares the message of holy, positive, basic space with someone else, it's like a range of golden mountains reaching around the world. Or, you know, say there's an enormous pond of lotuses filled with swans, and they're all sharing this message. Because we already are timelessly free, once we begin to realize that about ourselves, we can share it with others. It's not something we ever need to feel we're not capable of sharing. We already are who we are. And we need to normalize that and demystify it so that more and more everyone can realize that they are that. We'll sit quietly for a moment.